Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, July 26th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD ends year with decrease in fights. District reports 21% decrease from last 2 6-week periods in 2021-22. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland ISD reported the number of fights decreased by 70 over the last 2 6-week periods during the 2022-23 school year. The district also showed that changes were made after there were 178 fights during the 4th 6-weeks, at least a 2-year high for any quarter, showing a 21% reduction in fights during the last 2 6-week periods in 2022-23 compared to the previous school year, 312 to 244. The district updated its student expectations and school culture report during Tuesday's meeting of the Midland ISD School Board. Staff reported that the district is trying to ensure a safe campus environment by decreasing physical altercations, fighting, mutual combat, minimizing disruptive and disrespectful behaviors, facilitating the development of coping skills with students. Midland ISD ended the 2021-22 school year with 835 fights, and the 2022-23 school year with 819 fights, MISD reported. The district stated that discipline changes went into effect on March 2nd that decreased the upward trend taking place in 2022-23. Decreased the average of fights in periods 5 and 6 by an average of 35 fights a period, and decreased the number of fights in the last 6 weeks of 2022-23 by 63 compared to 2021-22. The 108 fights in the 6th 6-week period of 2022-23 was the lowest number of fights during a period in the last 2 years. Actions taken included removing the DAEP placement barrier, adding an elementary DAEP center, repurposing a counselor to Midland Alternative Program, extending the length of placement at DAEP, messaging to parents and students, and coaching and supporting principals. Having clear discipline expectations has empowered teachers to manage classrooms, the district reported. The district also reported the following steps for the 2023-24 school year. Supervision starting at 7:30 a.m. Positive incentives and recognition. Frequent communication of the student code of conduct and handbook. District-wide Saturday school and revamp DAEP. Expansion of communities in schools. The district's continuation of coaching and supporting principals will include a commitment to address culture, teacher support and protecting instruction. Consequences shall be based on the seriousness of the infraction and frequency of the behavior. Early communication with a parent or guardian. Timing on sending students back to class after an infraction. Communication with the teacher on consequences given the student. Fights. 2021-22. 1st 6 weeks, 132. 2nd, 116. 3rd, 143. 4th, 132. 5th, 141. 6th, 171. 2022-23, 1st 6 weeks, 115, 2nd, 118, 3rd, 164, 4th, 178, 5th, 136, 6th, 108. This article is entitled, ECISD Committee Recommends $427 Million Bond, by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. The Ector County Independent School District Board of Trustees heard and discussed the series of recommendations made by the Ector County ISD Community Bond Committee Monday night. The Bond Committee in Odessa worked throughout the spring to create a list of recommendations for ECISD's 2023 bond package. The committee's recommendations totaled $427.155 million, an amount that officials state would not raise taxes. Midland Independent School District's Bond Committee has decided on a $1.678 billion bond in June. A presentation on that bond was scheduled for Tuesday night. The ECISD bond package included building a new middle school for $120 million, a new career and technical education center for $80 million. ECISD school buildings will cost $48.4 million. Priority 2 items will cost $72.7 million. Also, the bond committee recommended improving fine arts auditoriums at a couple of district high schools, building a new transportation building for their buses, improving athletic facilities, and replacing buildings on the district's agricultural farm. The ECISD trustees have until August 21st to decide on a bond. The bond election date this fall is November 7th. The new $120 million middle school was a hotly discussed topic during Monday's special meeting. Board member Bob Thayer wanted to make sure that ECISD was putting together a bond that will make it across the finish line. In addition, Thayer said ECISD would have to justify why the plan is now to build a middle school as opposed to a high school. ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray said the high school's $320 million price tag, combined with community feedback, was the reason for the shift. It will cost $200 million less to build a new middle school, he said. Board members Steve Brown and Tammy Hawkins said a new middle school in West Odessa is a necessity for the district moving forward. Brown said that children in West Odessa have had to take a 2 to 2.5 hour bus ride to and from school for many years because of the lack of middle school options in West Odessa. There was a lot of high school conversation within the committee, Murray said. There was, but the price tag of the high school, and then also doing priority 1 and 2 items, which we have to do, there was a lot of energy around CTE as well. And when you put those numbers together, it's a really large number. Board member Don Miller said, because of the questions surrounding the middle school discussion, ECISD trustees need to get out in the community and hold open town halls for the community. Miller said they need to be transparent with the public and show the bond committee's proposal to Ector County parents and families, hear their feedback, and make any adjustments to the bond before finalizing it in late August and before an election in early November. This article is entitled Man Struck and Killed by Pickup Truck by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. A 50-year-old Garden City man died Sunday after being struck by a vehicle on County Road 125 in Glasscock County, according to the Department of Public Safety. DPS reported that a 2015 Chrysler 300 was parked on the east shoulder of County Road 125 when a 2008 GMC Sierra traveling northbound on County Road 125 approached the Chrysler and lost control. The GMC Sierra veered off the roadway to the east and struck the Chrysler and Gonzalo Antonio Ramirez, who was standing near his vehicle. Ramirez was pronounced deceased on the scene, according to DPS. The accident took place at 9:22 p.m. on County Road 125, 3.9 miles south of Garden City. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is called Opinion. It is entitled, Media Reports on Abandoned Wells Require Corrections, by Wayne Christian, Railroad Commission of Texas. Recently, some media reports claim plugged and abandoned oil and natural gas wells across the state are leaking and causing widespread pollution. If you read these stories carefully, you'll see they are not based on evidence, but rather speculation. As a commissioner of the government agency that regulates the oil and gas industry in Texas, I'd like to set the record straight. There is no evidence that plugged and abandoned oil and gas wells are failing across the state, causing leaks and resulting in pollution of groundwater. These reports are based on the broad claims of a handful of landowners. These landowners know what's happening on their land, but they have no way of knowing what's happening across the state. I do. A little background on orphan wells may be helpful. At any given time, orphan wells represent only about 2% of all wells in the state. The overwhelming majority of operators are compliant with state plugging requirements. Last year, about 85% of the oil and gas wells plugged in Texas were plugged by the operator, not the commission. For those wells not compliant, the agency has a dedicated staff of inspectors and an award-winning well plugging program paid for by industry taxes and fees that plug more than 1,000 wells a year. Whether an oil or gas well is plugged by the operator or the commission, Texas taxpayers do not pay for that well to be plugged. Additionally, some reporters continue to conflate the real story of Lake Bomer in Pecos County of West Texas. Bomer was caused by a well that never produced any oil or gas, but has been used as a water well since 1951. It's a water well, and the Railroad Commission does not have jurisdiction over water wells. Furthermore, the well has never been plugged, so it's misleading to use it as evidence that plugged and abandoned wells are leaking across the state. Today, most media outlets don't want to discuss the benefits fossil fuels have on our society, safety, transportation, medicine, food, shelter, and more. There's a bias against them because they inconvenience the radical environmentalist goal to achieve zero carbon emissions. In my view, these reports are the latest in a long line of attempts to paint the oil and gas industry as evil, dirty, or invaluable. That couldn't be farther from the truth. In fact, CO2 emissions are down 8%, according to the Houston Chronicle, and methane is down 66%, according to the American Petroleum Institute, in the last decade. Texas's natural gas flaring rate has remained under 2% for nearly 4 years, meaning about 98% of natural gas production is beneficially used to cool homes, cook food, or make consumer-based products we use every day. The oil and gas industry is vital to our state and economy, paying billions in taxes and royalties, nearly $25 billion in 2022, according to the Texas Oil and Gas Association, that benefit all Texans. Wayne Christian is a commissioner at the Railroad Commission of Texas. This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, July 26th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD ends year with decrease in fights. District reports 21% decrease from last 2 6-week periods in 2021-22. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland ISD reported the number of fights decreased by 70 over the last 2 6-week periods during the 2022-23 school year. The district also showed that changes were made after there were 178 fights during the 4th 6-week, at least a 2-year high for any quarter, showing a 21% reduction in fights during the last 2 6-week periods in 2022-23 compared to the previous school year, 312 to 244. The district updated its student expectations and school culture report during Tuesday's meeting of the Midland ISD School Board. Staff reported that the district is trying to ensure a safe campus environment by decreasing physical altercations, fighting, mutual combat, minimizing disruptive and disrespectful behaviors, facilitating the development of coping skills with students. Midland ISD ended the 2021-22 school year with 835 fights, and the 2022-23 school year with 819 fights, MISD reported. The district stated that discipline changes went into effect on March 2nd that decreased the upward trend taking place in 2022-23. Decreased the average of fights in periods 5 and 6 by an average of 35 fights a period, and decreased the number of fights in the last 6 weeks of 2022-23 by 63 compared to 2021-22. The 108 fights in the 6th 6-week period of 2022-23 was the lowest number of fights during a period in the last 2 years. Actions taken included removing the DAEP placement barrier, adding an elementary DAEP center, repurposing a counselor to Midland Alternative Program, extending the length of placement at DAEP, messaging to parents and students, and coaching and supporting principals. Having clear discipline expectations has empowered teachers to manage classrooms, the district reported. The district also reported the following steps for the 2023-24 school year. Supervision starting at 7:30 a.m. Positive incentives and recognition. Frequent communication of the student code of conduct and handbook. District-wide Saturday school and revamp DAEP. Expansion of communities in schools. The district's continuation of coaching and supporting principals will include a commitment to address culture, teacher support and protecting instruction. Consequences shall be based on the seriousness of the infraction and frequency of the behavior. Early communication with a parent or guardian. Timing on sending students back to class after an infraction. Communication with the teacher on consequences given the student. Fights. 2021-22. 1st 6 weeks, 132. 2nd, 116. 3rd, 143. 4th, 132. 5th, 141. 6th, 171. 2022-23, 1st 6 weeks, 115, 2nd, 118, 3rd, 164, 4th, 178, 5th, 136, 6th, 108. This article is entitled National Weather Service, Sub-100 Degree Highs Expected Through Sunday, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland is set to get a break from the 100-degree weather, according to the National Weather Service. The NWS reported Tuesday that high temperatures in the upper 90s are expected through Sunday. While those temperatures are still hotter than average for this time of year, the typical high is 96, according to the National Weather Service, it stops the run of 100-degree days this year at 33. When the 100-degree heat returns, 2023 will continue its march among the years with the most 100-degree days. There also is no rain in the 7-day forecast, just sunny skies. Weather Report. Tuesday's high, 100 degrees. Typical high for July 25th, 96 degrees. Tuesday's low, 77 degrees. Typical low for July 25th, 73 degrees. Record high for July 25th, 105 in 2000. Last 3 days. Sunday, 101 degrees. Monday, 102. Tuesday, 100. Next 3 days. Wednesday, 99 degrees. Thursday, 99. Friday, 98. The source of this article, the National Weather Service. This column is called Biz Buzz. It is entitled Petra Suites Provides Office Space by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Petra Suites, private office spaces available for rent to small businesses, provides a space for Midland's entrepreneurial spirit to continue to grow. Petra Suites, which has two locations, on the outskirts of downtown Midland at 703 West Indiana Avenue, and in the basement of the Apex building at Claydesta Plaza, provides office spaces and conference rooms for long-term repetitive use or single-day short-term needs. We have individual offices that we make available to startups, businesses, entrepreneurs, existing businesses, people who have been working from home who want to get out, get in an office. And it doesn't take a lot of overhead, operations manager Benita Clark said. Oil field service companies, realtors, attorneys, insurance companies, churches, educational services, solar companies, home security companies, and more populate the 60 fully furnished office spaces between the two Petra Suites locations. The West Indiana Avenue location was 89% occupied on Tuesday. The Claydesta location was fully occupied on Tuesday. That's probably, for a new business, the biggest expense is office space, Clark said. The business hub is owned by Matt and Nick Hood, president and vice president of H&J Petroleum Management and Consulting. As business owners, the Hoods know the early challenges that face a startup. When you've walked that walk, he understands what it's like. He wants to help and is in a position to offer these individual spaces, Clark said. For companies outside of Midland that want to have a presence in the tall city, like oil companies and insurance companies, Petra Suites is the perfect venue to house one or a couple of employees rather than finding a high-rise downtown or entire headquarters. Petra Suites' West Indiana Avenue location is convenient for business people in Midland. It sits just outside the outskirts of downtown, with ample parking to avoid crowds, but is still within a block of Midland's business epicenter. Petra Suites offers 1 to 12-month agreements, along with daily rates on all available spaces. The overhead for a single space, it's all-inclusive, so you don't have to pay extra or air conditioning or taxes or insurance. There's a small setup fee, so we can set up a secure Wi-Fi, and it's much more affordable on a small scale than it is trying to get a building that you may not use the whole building if you're lucky enough to find one, Clark said. In 2015, Matt and Nick Hood began an engineering consulting firm. As a startup, it was difficult to find a building to call their headquarters. They eventually came across the West Indiana Avenue location. They purchased it to operate their engineering consulting firm with plans to rent out the other half of the vacant office spaces. When we started, we had 11 offices, Clark said, and there was never a thought of having more than 11 offices. 2017 was a difficult year for business, and the Hood's engineering consulting firm had not grown as much as they had hoped. The pair then made 8 additional offices available for rent in their location, and we booked them up right away, Clark said. Observing the apparent need for office space, Nick and Matt decided to turn the entire location into Petro Suites, turning 11 offices into 40 at the West Indiana Avenue location and 20 at the Claydesta Plaza location. For more information, go to petrosuites.com. This article is entitled Presidio County Woman Pleads Guilty to Drug Trafficking by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. A 33-year-old woman from Presidio County pleaded guilty Tuesday in a federal court in Alpine to one count of possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine and fentanyl, according to the Department of Justice. Cherokee Lee Perez provided a negative declaration during a Customs and Border Patrol vehicle inspection at the Presidio point of entry from Mexico into the U.S. A narcotic detection canine discovered more than 3 dozen packages hidden in the vehicle, according to court documents. Officials found 29 packages containing approximately 4.5 kilograms of methamphetamine and 13 containing 7 kilograms of fentanyl. Perez is scheduled to be sentenced on October 23rd and faces 10 years to life in prison. This article is entitled Saudi Oil Revenue Drops by Abir Abu Omar, Bloomberg. Saudi Arabia's receipts from oil sales abroad declined by more than a third to the lowest since September 2021, amid a spluttering recovery in energy markets. The kingdom's oil exports dropped to just over $19 billion during May, according to data from the General Authority for Statistics that includes both crude and refined products. The share of oil sales in total exports fell to 74% from nearly 81% a year ago. Saudi Arabia, the world's largest oil exporter, saw a significant windfall from higher crude prices and production in 2022. This year, the kingdom said it would prolong production cuts it started earlier in 2023, trying to boost prices by keeping a lid on supply amid persisting fears over the global economy. Crude oil prices have gained in recent weeks due to the effects of the cuts, but are restrained by concerns that higher interest rates could throttle economic activity in the U.S. and Europe. Brent prices averaged about $75 per barrel in May and traded at $82.61 on Tuesday. This article is entitled Summer Fun in the Sun with Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry by Mercedes Cordero. The Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry hosted a Summer Fun in the Sun event on Friday. The free event brought out 300 community members and more than 150 children. Attractions included water slides and demonstrations by the Midland Police and Fire Departments and the Midland County Sheriff's Office. The Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry reported that Pop Bar Midland donated and distributed more than 300 ice pops. HEB was also in attendance, providing goodies and fun items to the children. A local family-owned farm also provided watermelon slices. Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry has been feeding more than 750 home-cooked meals each week to children and their families all summer long, along with any patron in need of a meal, a press release stated. This event was to celebrate a successful and blessed summer full of fun and filled bellies. For more information and ways to donate, visit midland-soupkitchen.org. This article is entitled Warren Buffett Loading Up on Fossil Fuel Investments by Kevin Crowley and Max Reyes, Bloomberg. Warren Buffett's multi-billion dollar purchases of oil and gas investments early in the pandemic paid off when the sector cranked out record earnings in 2022. But instead of selling out for a huge profit this year, the Oracle of Omaha once more. Berkshire Hathaway, Inc. is using this year's dip in commodity prices to load up on some of Buffett's favorite oil and gas investments, showing that history's most famous investor sees opportunity in a sector long disfavored due to its volatility and effects on the climate. Earlier this month, Berkshire agreed to spend $3.3 billion to boost its stake in a liquefied natural gas export terminal in Maryland. This year, it has also increased its holding in Occidental Petroleum Corporation by 15%, and bought more stock in five Japanese commodity traders. Meanwhile, Berkshire's energy division is lobbying hard for a bill that would see Texas spend at least $10 billion on natural gas-fired power plants to back up its grid. On one level, it's classic bargain hunting by Buffett and Berkshire Vice Chairman Charlie Munger. Persistent concerns over the sector's environmental, social, and governance performance, poor pre-pandemic returns, and the risk of declining demand for fossil fuels in the decades ahead have soured many investors on the industry. Energy trades at the lowest price-to-earnings valuation of any sector in the S&P 500 index, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. But it also generates the most cash flow per share. People are missing the economics that Buffett and Munger are looking at, said Cole Speed, Chief Executive Officer of Speed Capital Management, which manages $5.4 billion, including Berkshire and Occidental shares. The returns on capital in coal, oil, and gas are off the charts compared with other sectors. And with ESG, you can buy them cheaper than you otherwise would. But Buffett's fossil fuel bet isn't without nuances. While Berkshire remains the third largest shareholder in Chevron Corporation, it cut its stake by about 21% in the first quarter. Occidental, Cove Point LNG, and Japan's trading giants all have unique assets that will play a key role in powering the world, no matter what path the energy transition takes, if it occurs at all. Even Berkshire's seemingly straightforward investments in oil have their subtleties. Take Occidental. Buffett invested $10 billion to help Occidental beat Chevron in a bidding war for Anadarko Petroleum Corporation in 2019. And the company now owns an area the size of Jamaica in the world's biggest and lowest-cost shale oil field. At this year's annual meeting, Buffett stressed how shale is different from conventional crude sources in Russia and the Middle East. Shale wells, which make up the majority of U.S. production, can be brought on quickly and have short lifespans, making operators more flexible in responding to oil demand and prices. In the United States, we're lucky to have the ability to produce the kind of oil we've got from shale, but it is not a long-term source like you might think by watching movies, he said, dubbing it short-lived oil. Buffett also said, "Both extremes in the climate debate have gotten ridiculous in their arguments." "We will make rational decisions," he said. "We do not think it's un-American to be producing oil." Cove Point LNG provides another example of a nuanced energy play. The facility buys gas from the nearby Marcellus Shale and chills it to a liquid before shipping around the world. It also has the rare ability to import gas, something rival plants on the Gulf Coast can't do. Global LNG demand has risen substantially in recent years as Europe replaces Russian gas, Asia uses it to generate more power for its growing economies, and countries seek cleaner alternatives to coal. But Cove Point also has several unique advantages. In contrast to the several multi-billion dollar projects along the Gulf Coast that have been sanctioned since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Cove Point is well established having operated since 2018. It's located in Maryland on the East Coast, where laws make rival facilities difficult to build, reducing competition. Crucially, it's underpinned by long-term contracts with buyers, including Tokyo Gas Company and Sumitomo Corporation. Berkshire is Sumitomo's second-largest shareholder after the Japanese government's pension fund. Outside of Buffett's stock holdings, Berkshire Hathaway Energy, which owns utilities, power generation facilities, and transmission lines, is in robust shape. Earnings for the division, overseen by Buffett's anointed successor Greg Abel, reached a record high of $3.9 billion in 2022, almost doubling in 5 years. Berkshire is scheduled to report second quarter results on August 5th. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, July 26th. Richard Auburn Brown. When you lose someone you love, you gain an angel that you know. Our lives were forever changed on July 19th when our brother Richard Auburn Brown joined many of our loved ones in heaven. He is the amazing son born to the late Lewis and Ginger Brown, and the awesome brother of Ramona Maciejek, Frank Viegas, Toby Randolph, Daniel Randolph, and Mark Schultz. We will be honoring his incredible life on Wednesday, July 26th at Golf Course Road Church of Christ in Midland, with a viewing at 1 p.m. and a service at 2 p.m., followed with a short drive to Evergreen Cemetery in Stanton for his final resting place next to his mom and dad. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Violet Owens, July 18, 1934 to July 21, 2023. Violet Lee Owens went to be with her Lord and Savior on July 21st. She was born July 18, 1934 in Sparenberg, Texas, to the late Henry and Virgil McNew. She was the youngest of eight and is survived by a sister, Faye Archer. Violet was married to Gary Glenn Owens, who preceded her in death, along with their son, Greg Owens. They had four other children, Michael Owens and wife Becky, Pat O'Donnell and husband Dennis, Teresa Bustamante and husband Roy, and Glenn Owens and wife Adele. She is also survived by 10 grandchildren and 18 great-grandchildren. The family will receive friends for visitation on Wednesday, July 26th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. Funeral service will be on Thursday, July 27th at 1 p.m. at Downtown Church of Christ, followed by burial at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. William Connery II, January 8, 1945 to July 21, 2023. San Angelo. William Bill Joseph Connery, aged 78, peacefully passed away following a prolonged illness. He was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but his family later relocated to Texas. In 1963, he proudly graduated from Midland High School. Preceding Bill in death are his parents, Dr. David Bradford Connery and mother Marion Tweed, as well as his two brothers, David Connery and Robert Tweed. Mr. Connery is survived by his two daughters, Stacy Connery and Kim Connery, both residing in Midland, along with his brothers, Brad Connery of Midland and Bruce Connery of Houston, as well as two grandchildren. A graveside service has been scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, July 27th at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Family and friends can leave condolences and sign the online register book at www.harper-funeralhome.com.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American. This article is for July 26th, 2023, Bell Family Has Storied History in Odessa by Laura Dennis. A bit of history was shared and made during the Odessa City Council meeting Tuesday night with a generous donation from one of Odessa's oldest families. Larry Bell and his family announced a few months ago they wanted to donate 100 acres to the city so it can build a $50 million sports complex in the Parks Bell Ranch area north of Faudry Road. The 80,000 to 100,000 square foot complex will feature 20 volleyball courts, 10 basketball courts, and a track, plus 8 to 12 multipurpose fields for soccer, football, and lacrosse, and up to 8 baseball, softball fields. City officials hope the complex will be paid for by corporate sponsorships and private donations. A move was made in that direction Tuesday to set up a nonprofit organization that will be named in honor of Larry and Ellen Bell's late daughter, Amy Bell. The nonprofit will exist to accept donations for the private-public partnership to build the sports complex. This will be the largest partnership since the Toby and Sandra F. partnership with the City of Odessa to create the Marriott in downtown Odessa. Larry Bell told Odessa's City Council that it is important to keep the legacy that our parents and grandparents cared deeply about the community and taught us to give back to where you came from. He said his family has built a wonderful life here and that it is important to give back and to pay it forward. He said his family met and said, "This is the opportunity to give back to Odessa and Ector County. Let's do something significant that will lead to a stronger community." Bell, during a news conference prior to the meeting, pointed out how many in the Permian Basin have had to drive hundreds of miles for sporting events and that the new sports complex will mean that folks will now drive here and stay here and spend their money here in the Permian Basin. Bell described the Parks Bell area as a place where the quality of life is a focus on family with wide streets and sidewalks. "We like to go out and see all the strollers and people walking dogs, and it's all about family," he said. "It all contributes to the quality of the entire family." Bill credited Odessa City Councilman Steve Thompson for getting the ball rolling for the donation. "Steve is our representative of our district and someone we have been talking to for a while. It all goes back to when he was campaigning for city council, and he is very familiar with the area around 191 and Faudry. Even in those early days, we talked about how to continue to build and grow and enhance all the things." He said Thompson later brought in city staff and that the intention was always for a significant private-public partnership. "We wanted to take the first big and major step and said, let's get behind this thing and do something significant, and it will lead to bigger and better things and a stronger community." Bell called on others in the business community and also individuals to do what they can to give back and pay it forward. Odessa's Colin Sewell, who was named during the city council meeting to the new board that will oversee the sports complex, thanked the Bell family and urged unity and positivity going forward. "I think that it is interesting that everything starts with a dream. It's come to pass in my own life," Sewell said Tuesday. "Mr. Bell, you have taken a dream and created a vision for our community. I want to thank you. We need to take what was a dream and is now a vision and make it a reality. My hope is it will be a new cornerstone for what we are known for, focused on the future and not on the past, and on family and not feuds. We can write an entire new chapter from the tree the Bell family has planted, make it something that makes the headlines for what the new Odessa looks like." During Bell's remarks to the council, he credited other great ranching families for their donations and contributions, such as the Hurt Ratliffs, the McKnights, and the Scarbers. He spoke of how donations from those families have formed important anchors in the Odessa Midland region, such as Ratliff Stadium and the Scarber Sports Complex. He said the land is to be used for the perpetual benefit of all the youth of Odessa. "These young people are our future. Let's do something special for them and future generations," Bell said. "A project like this has been needed in Odessa for a long time. Let's work together now to make this happen," Bell said. The Parks Bell family goes back more than 100 years in Odessa. Bell's wife Ellen's grandfather, Roy Parks Sr., came to Odessa in 1918 and settled on a piece of land between Midland and Odessa. AeroCare offers heat safety tips. July 26, 2023. Extreme temperatures can lead to heat-related conditions and potential health emergencies, including sunburn, dehydration, and heat stroke. AeroCare wants to remind residents of Odessa and Midland in the importance of taking proper precautions to ensure that they are prepared for the warmer weather. When heat warnings are in place, it's important to take precautions to keep you and your family safe. Kenneth Hawley, Program Director for AeroCare, said in a news release, "Be sure to check in on elderly neighbors and relatives and assist children and pets in managing their hydration and heat exposure." Hawley offers the following safety tips to stay healthy and beat the heat. Stay indoors and avoid being out in the heat when possible. Seek an air-conditioned environment. If you don't have air conditioning, consider visiting an air-conditioned shopping mall, public library, or community cooling center to cool off. Drink plenty of water, including beverages with electrolytes, regardless of activity level. Limit alcohol intake. Wear lightweight clothing. When outside, wear sunscreen and protective clothing. Avoid strenuous activities. Never leave a child or pet in a car, even to run a quick errand. If you or someone you know are experiencing confusion, loss of consciousness, seizures, very high body temperature, and have stopped sweating, call 911 immediately. For more information on avoiding heat-related health problems, please visit cdc.gov. ECSO investigating attempted robbery by Odessa American for July 26, 2023. The Ector County Sheriff's Office is investigating an unsuccessful Tuesday night robbery. Sheriff Mike Griffiths said a man wearing a mask entered the Lucky's Game Room at 4801 Andrews Highway at 9:45 p.m., pulled a gun, and demanded money from an employee. The worker ran into the office and barricaded herself. The robber could not gain access, so he departed, Griffiths said via text. Edwards to Speak by Odessa American, July 26, 2023. Discover Odessa invites everyone to attend a tourism and development meeting on the future of oil and gas industry featuring Odessa businessman Kirk Edwards from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. Thursday, July 27th at the Hilton Garden Inn at 5221 JBS Parkway. Edwards will be speaking on the future of the oil and gas industry and how good the Permian Basin will have it for years to come. Also, you will hear a quarterly report and catch up on the latest news from the Discover Odessa team. IDEA Permian Basin Welcomes Students Back by Odessa American, July 26, 2023. IDEA Public Schools in the Permian Basin is excited to welcome 2,300 students for the upcoming 2023-24 school year at both campuses, IDEA Travis in Midland and IDEA Yukon in Odessa. IDEA Travis opened its doors in 2020 and will continue to add a new grade level each year until fully scaled pre-K through 12. This year, IDEA Travis will offer 9th grade for the first time and serve roughly 1,200 students as the class of 2027 works to fulfill IDEA's mission of going to and through college. Students in grades 6 through 9 will have the opportunity to participate in competitive sports including basketball, flag football, volleyball, baseball, cross country, soccer, track, and cheer. We are ecstatic to be able to offer high school for our students this year, Bethany Solis, Executive Director for IDEA Public Schools in the Permian Basin, said in a news release. All students take at least one advanced placement class and a unique road to and through college class every year of high school. They complete more than 100 hours of community service and are encouraged to get involved in sports or other extracurricular activities. This prepares them for success in college and beyond. Opened in 2021, IDEA Yukon welcomes roughly 1,100 students this school year in grades K through 8. Like IDEA Travis, IDEA Yukon will add another grade level each year until fully scaled to 12th grade. Scholars in 8th grade will be able to take part in a career and technical education CTE curriculum for the first time this year through a systems data class. The CTE curriculum at IDEA enhances the mission of College for All, allowing students to explore career fields that mirror the nation's job market, the release said. Man 62 found deceased by Odessa American, July 25, 2023. Odessa police officers were called to check on a man who was found unresponsive and unconscious in the 1100 block of East 42nd Street shortly before 7 p.m. Monday, and he was later pronounced deceased by the medical examiner. According to the Odessa Police Department, it doesn't appear as though foul play was involved in the 62-year-old man's death, but an investigation continues. Texas A&M Forest Service encourages caution as wildfire dangers increases statewide by Odessa American, July 26, 2023. College Station, as persistent triple-digit temperatures and dry conditions increase, wildfire danger for much of the state, Texas A&M Forest Service urges Texans to be cautious with outdoor activities that create sparks. Through Friday, high temperatures and increased wind speeds will support the potential for large wildfires that may be resistant to firefighters' suppression efforts. Areas at risk include North Central and South Texas, the southern region of East Texas, areas in the rolling plains near Wichita Falls, and Abilene, and areas in the hill country near San Angelo, Fredericksburg, and San Antonio. The risk for wildfire activities will remain elevated through the first week of August, as very hot and dry conditions are likely to continue. With a recent uptick in wildfire activities, Texas A&M Forest Service has mobilized additional personnel and equipment to assist with response, said Wes Moorhead, Texas A&M Forest Service Fire Chief, in a press release. State and local firefighters are prepared to respond quickly, but we need Texans to be careful and prevent wildfire ignitions while conditions remain hot and dry. In Texas, 9 out of 10 wildfires are human-caused and preventable. The most common causes of wildfires during the summer months are debris burning and equipment use, which includes parking in dry grass and dragging trailer chains. Every year, Texans eagerly await the summer months when they can enjoy their favorite outdoor activities like camping, boating, or grilling, Karen Stafford, Texas A&M Forest Service Prevention Program Coordinator, said in the release. Unfortunately, these activities can also spark an unintended wildfire. It is important that everyone consider their surroundings and remember that simple preventative measures can keep a wildfire from igniting. Throughout the summer months, always check with local officials for burn bans and other outdoor burning restrictions. Pay attention to local guidelines regarding open fires, campfires, and outdoor activities that may pose a fire hazard. For burn ban information, visit tfsweb.tamu.edu/Texas Burn Bans. Park in designated spaces and avoid driving over and or parking on dry grass. The heat from a vehicle can easily ignite the grass. When using a cooking fire or campfire, never leave it unattended. Always make sure it is completely out by drowning it with water, stirring it, and feeling to ensure it is out cold before leaving. When pulling a trailer, ensure the chains are properly connected and do not drag on the road, as it can create sparks. If you witness suspicious behavior or signs of arson, immediately call the local authorities. Stay wildfire aware. If a wildfire is spotted, immediately contact local authorities. A quick response can help save lives and property. For more information about summer wildfire prevention, visit tfsweb.tamu.edu/summerwildfires. For more information on current wildfire situation in Texas, visit tfsweb.tamu.edu/current situation. United Way of Odessa 2023 campaign kickoff by Odessa American, July 25, 2023. United Way of Odessa has scheduled the annual campaign kickoff celebration for 9:30 a.m. Thursday, August 17th at Odessa Regional Medical Center Auditorium at 515 North Adams Avenue, corner of 5th and Adams. The celebration officially kickstarts the United Way's 2023 fundraising campaign. The event reflects United Way's impact in the community and inspires others to join the fight and become involved. Founded in 1951, United Way of Odessa supports local programs that impact the lives of one in every three Odessans. Currently, United Way of Odessa partners with 16 local partner agencies and 21 programs providing services in health, education, and self-sufficiency. The United Way also provides additional funding through venture grants for special projects and programs that benefit our area. This year's guest speaker, State Representative Brooks Landgraf, followed by 2023 campaign chair David Sanchez. Come and join the fun as we share information and mix and mingle while enjoying cool and tasty refreshments, a press release said. Bring your friends, family, and co-workers to this fun, free community event. For additional information, please contact Dahlia Watts, who is very proud to serve as the UWO campaign lead, at 432-332-0941. Kendra Scott events benefit Midland Humane Coalition by Odessa American, July 26, 2023. Kendra Scott is holding a Kendra Gives Back event benefiting Midland Humane Coalition from 4 to 6 p.m. today at the Midland store at 2900 West Loop 250 North, Suite 135. Kendra Scott is donating 20% of the proceeds to Midland Humane Coalition when you shop in-store or online. Shop for the cause online using the code GIVEBACK-EJRLL, valid July 26th and 27th at kendrascott.com. Applications open for Texas Armed Services Scholarship Program by Odessa American, July 25th, 2023. Austin, Texas State Senator Kevin Sparks announced in a Tuesday press release that his office is now accepting applications for Texas Senate District 31 college-ready students who are planning a military career. "I believe military service is an honor, and I look forward to assisting our brave servicemen and women in their pursuit of a higher education. It is my sincere hope that our prospective service members take advantage of this incredible opportunity, and I look forward to reviewing each application," Sparks said in the release. Annually, each state representative and state senator may appoint one student to receive up to $15,000 through the Texas Armed Services Scholarship. Prospective applicants must meet specific criteria and make a 4-year commitment to a qualified military service branch. The program encourages students to complete a baccalaureate degree and become a member of the Texas Army National Guard, the Texas Air National Guard, the Texas State Guard, the United States Coast Guard, the United States Merchant Marine, or a commissioned officer in any branch of the armed services of the United States. Selected students must meet 2 of these 4 academic criteria. Number 1, be on track to graduate or have graduated high school with the Distinguished Achievement Program. The distinguished level of achievement under the Foundation High School Program or the International Baccalaureate Program. Number 2, have a good high school grade point average of 3.0 or higher on a 4.0 scale. Number 3, have achieved a college readiness score on the SAT of at least 1,070 or at least 23 on the ACT. San Angelo VA Clinic renaming ceremony set by Odessa American, July 26, 2023. President Joseph R. Biden approved legislation that officially redesignates the San Angelo VA Clinic as the Colonel Charles and Joanne Powell VA Clinic. West Texas VA Healthcare System will rename the San Angelo VA Clinic to the Colonel Charles and Joanne Powell VA Clinic in a ceremony at 3 p.m. on Monday, July 31st at 4240 Southwest Boulevard. In 2022, the 117th Congress voted to change the name of the San Angelo VA Clinic based on a bill co-sponsored by the U.S. Senator John Cornyn and U.S. Representative August Pfluger. Colonel Charles E. Powell was a Texas native and 30-year Air Force pilot who volunteered to serve in Vietnam as a rescue crew commander, flying 168 combat missions, and later served as commander of the 17th Training Wing at Goodfellow Air Force Base. He was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross, 2 Legions of Merit, and the Air Medal with 7 oak leaf clusters. His wife, Joanne, served as a congressional district office manager and regional staff aide to 4 local members of Congress throughout multiple decades of public service. She served on the boards of the Red Cross, Meals for the Elderly, Hospice of San Angelo, and was frequently referred to as the First Lady of Goodfellow Air Force Base.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.